Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the Old Testament lesson, especially verses 12, 13, 14, 16, and 17. But do not gloat over the day of your brother and the day of his misfortune. Do not rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their ruin. Do not boast in the day of distress. There is a certain intimacy in violence and murder. It is portrayed sometimes in movies, such as when the bad guy says, "I want to watch the lights go out in your eyes." On and on, the depictions of violence and death splashed on the screens. And people flock to shoot 'em ups and thrillers. We cheer when the bad guy gets it. And someone has speculated that it is because we are so insulated in our normal daily lives, that there is a vividness to all of this. We are insulated from so many things. Question for this year: is this why we are so focused on the coronavirus issues? Vividness? And again, it has been said that modern warfare has become the art of killing from a distance, making it impersonal. It was not always that way. When the weapon was not a gun or a bomb, but a sword, it was up close and personal. So it is with the soldiers at the cross, placing Jesus on the cross, driving the nails, setting everything in place, and then demonstrating cruelty, mocking, gambling for the clothes of the crucified, overseeing the death and making sure it was done. Cruelty is personal, very personal. That's a part of the intimacy. It ranges all the way from the little unkindnesses through lies and destroying reputations into violence, bullying, and picking on the vulnerable. Finally, all the way up to murder. It's a matter of personal hatred, loathing, spite, malice, animosity, enmity, the desire for the destruction of another human being. It was that way in the Old Testament when so many in the nation of Edom celebrated the fall of Jerusalem. Why? We see the same things in our day. Why? And so when the refugees were fleeing, many from Edom went out to the crossroads to stop those fleeing and betray them to the soldiers so they could be killed. And they went and looted and celebrated the destruction and the calamity of others. Where did that come from? And Cain rose up and killed his brother Abel, jealous of Abel's being blessed by God. And before that, it was the devil, jealous of Adam and Eve's being blessed by God and jealous of the joy that God had in Adam and Eve, who scheme to bring about their destruction. It's deeply personal. Even when it isn't personal, it's personal. There are acts of cruelty and violence that are intended to be impersonal. They are deliberately dismissive, devaluing the victim, saying they're unimportant, their life does not matter. But that in itself is a very personal thing. It is one human being turning on another to degrade and demean. But in that very turning on another human being, there is something deeply personal. A very personal devaluing of another human life and soul. And so it becomes a mirror. Strangely enough, it becomes a mirror. What we say about another human being and the worth of their life, we say of ourselves. To devalue another is to devalue ourselves. If my neighbor has no eternal worth, then I don't either. And so life becomes cheap. And hatred, malice, violence, and murder spread. Judgment is coming. And God says in Obadiah, as you have drunk on my mountain, so all the nations shall drink and shall be as though they had never been. We as a human race bring this on ourselves. But then, right into the middle of this, God has chosen to come into it. Jesus has chosen to become one of us. By his birth, he restores value to every human soul. In his ministry, he brings another kind of intimacy. It is a soul-to-soul encounter. You see it through the Gospel of John. It is in the pattern of Jesus looking you in the eye and talking to your soul. As Jesus was subjected to the cruelty and violence, in those very intimate moments, when the cruelty was personal and it was eye to eye, he was calling the cruel, calling the brutal, calling the lost, calling them to eternal life. Caiaphas. The Jewish ruling council saw this, and it enraged them. Pilate, the governor, saw it, and it unnerved him. The soldiers saw it, and they heard it. And this encounter with Jesus, the incarnate God, it wrung a confession from the centurion. Surely this man was a son of God. No matter the situation, setting, background, or path that you, or that they, or that I, or that any of us are on in life, whatever is in your soul, whatever you are in the middle of, trying to do right, or letting loose the flesh, the sin and the evil that lurks deep within, Jesus interrupts. He interrupts the pattern. soul to soul, Jesus confronts with the claims that he has on us. Very different kind of confronting. He confronts us as the good shepherd who can change the pattern and the path and bring us into the kingdom of God. And this is what the soldiers face as they wield the whip, swing the hammer, roll the dice for his clothing, and thrust the spear to finish the job. But his claims, the claims of Jesus, the Son of God, are persistent. They are the claims of the one who could take our hatred and our death into himself, who could drain and exhaust that death, and then who could rise from the tomb and bring life into a cursed and dying humanity. So Obadiah 17 says, "But in Mount Zion there shall be those who escape, and it shall be holy. Out of all the nations, there shall be those who escape. Even out of Edom, those who escape." Even out of those groups that are the most violent and far from God, there shall be those who escape. This is interesting. The gathering of those who escape is called the church, because the word for church in the New Testament in the Greek is ekklesia, those called out, those who escape. Jesus calls us out of the lost and dying world, and he calls us to live with him and to be forever with him, living, celebrating, rejoicing forever. Jesus wins his kingdom right in the middle of the mess, calling and gathering sinners of every kind, even those who were violent toward him. And because of how he gathers his kingdom, and because of what his kingdom is astounding. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, who has not only conquered sin, death, and hell, he has conquered my sin, my death, and my hell. And he is the only one who can rule in this way, because it is not temporal power that he seeks. Rather, his kingdom is souls brought to faith and brought into eternal life through knowing him. And there is nothing better than to be known by Jesus, to know Jesus, to be running with Jesus through all eternity. In Jesus' name.